CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave, episode 66, located on Coast Salish, unceded ancestral territory, the Hunkminum speaking Musqueam Nation. Welcome. First up, Whoever Lazy. Next up, a collaboration with Bad Bad Not Good and Little Dragon is called Tried.
Tried, I tried. start. She's losing her fever. Make him believe her. Silver River, take me apart. These lavender women blocking my vision.
That bitch blew my mind, went from that lush bloom. Got stuck soon in that gray cell. Brain cells all dried up, got riled up when the rain fell. I went searching, train surfing, I trained the rail. Felt the grip of the grim reaper, I'm telling you she got pain in nails. Trying to tell you what I seen. Walking the ceilings of these rooms full of one-eyed kings. She in the corner mad, fly like a buck of the wings. I'ma keep it elusive, keep it moving, fuck did you think? Now you see me, now you done. Walking in and out these doors like Houdini and some Adidas step on the scene like I'm here now, speed of light. No. Ain't no such thing as half read books. Ain't no time for half stepping, that's a bad look. Look, system ain't broken, it's only working how they built it. Bought into that school of thought, then I got lost on a field trip. They hold the mirrors up with one hand, use the other one to conceal shit. Sleight of hand since time again, it's about time that we get with it. It starts some shit in this room's full of one-eyed kings. She in the corner mad, fly like a buck of the wings. I'ma keep it elusive, keep it moving, fuck did you think? Now you see me, now you don't. I've been falling in and out these doors like
CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave. That was Now You See Me, Ivan Ab. Next up, Patrick Page, the second, Voodoo. Thank you. Since I wasn't able to be on air last week, I'm going to say this now, because it's important info, especially in relation to CITR. Last week was Trans Day of Remembrance, a day that honors thousands of transgender and gender nonconforming people who have been killed around the world. The Day of Remembrance is also a celebration of the community's resistance and a call to action to fight for policies and a shift in the culture that protects trans lives. Over 3,000 trans and gender nonconforming people have been killed around the world since 2008. This includes, in the U.S., 22 so far, mostly black transgender women. Among those who have died in the U.S. this year was Laylin Polanco, a transgender woman who died in Rikers in June after she was arrested on a misdemeanor charge and sent to jail because she could not afford $500 bail. That same month, Chynel Lindsay was murdered in Dallas shortly after a video went viral showing her being attacked by a mob of men shouting homophobic and transphobic slurs. In June, a transgender Salvadorian woman named Joanna Medina died in ICE custody, where her family says she was repeatedly denied medical care. Activists today say it's also a celebration of the community's resistance and are calling on people to fight for the policies that could have protected these people's lives. So that's always a big day. Also, the call to help trans lives is something that exists every day. So it's dope that there's a day of awareness, but let's let that be a part of our everyday lives. In other news, this week marks 50 years since the occupation of Alcatraz. If you didn't know, Alcatraz was kind of ambushed by a bunch of indigenous people in 1969 on the 20th of November. It's a part of traditional territory of the Olon, the Rametush, and the Miwok peoples. The leaders of the movement carried their children, not weapons. They asserted their legal claim to Alcatraz by right of discovery, which is pretty funny. And the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, which was agreed that retired, abandoned, out-of-use federal land would be returned to Native peoples. So they were there for 19 months. It probably marks one of the largest, most significant reclamations of land by indigenous peoples as an act of protest. They flipped the script on colonization by creating their own Bureau of Caucasian Affairs, requiring all whites to enter Alcatraz to register with the Bureau before setting foot on the island. It was run by women. It helped forge a path of decolonization in North America, triggering tons of movements. And to this day, there's a sign there that says, "Indians welcome," as commemoration of that. And that's kind of forgotten history as we try to decolonize our minds. It's good to remember the people who have come before us. We're going to continue on with Ninth Wave Radio. Next track, local hero Amalia and the Precious Lows, brand new track Sanctify featuring Brian Ellis. CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave.
Consensual, sensual, oh, we did it better. Oh.
This next track, Canadian artist Sharon Redd, Never Give You Up.
Thank you.
Check.
Yo. Welcome. What's good?
Hey.
How are you guys feeling?
My mic
is not on. That's why we couldn't hear me.
Oh. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Ninth Wave Radio, episode 66. We got a special guest, two special guests in the house. Introduce yourselves.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm Georgie. What's up, everybody?
My name is Ari. I'm the producer. You gotta introduce yourself more.
Yeah. So I'm like a Vancouver-based artist. I do like R&B and soul, electronic vibes, neo-soul shit. Yeah. And this guy over here, he does all my production.
Yeah.
He writes a little bit, too.
How long have you guys been working together?
We've known each other for about 7 years, and I think we've been working on music for about six. Like,
yeah,
if you really get down to it. But we kind of have been taking this project serious since 2017, so coming up on 3 years.
Yeah.
Cool. What were crates that were available growing up? Like, what was, if your parents collected records or CDs, what was the music that you remember being like, oh man, that's hot. That Mary J. Blige, like, what the fuck?
Mary J., shout out. But for me, like, the very first tape my dad bought, we had, like, this shitty old truck, and it had, like, a little tape player. And it also had, like, one of those tapes that had, like, the aux cord coming out that, like, plug into, like, whatever. But
I read some review that, like, changed a generation of music listeners, like, how, like, significant that little piece of thing was to discovering new music.
Facts.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm here to talk about.
Yeah, that's great.
My dad bought the Janis Joplin tape, the one with me and Bobby McGee on it. Mm. And growing up, like, singing to that album definitely shaped, like, my raspiness and, like, a lot of my, like, just a lot of the inflictions in my voice.
Right.
So Janis was a big one for me.
I hear the Janis.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
She's
the
shit.
I don't know if I've ever asked you that before, but I hear the resemblance.
Mm-hmm.
You've always had for me a very Janis aura.
Yeah.
Just as far as like this young, kind of old soul singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just don't die, please, at 27.
At 27? Yeah, I'll try. Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 24. I still have a couple more years to go. So.
Please don't die.
Fingers crossed.
And what were your parents listening to growing up?
Well, my father listened to a lot of, 90s psychedelic rock. So a lot of, like, Pink Floyd and Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of things. But I grew up meeting with my mom, who's listening to, like, Eric Clapton and Blue Rodeos. So
yeah,
I don't know if that really had, like, a huge impact on my production.
Must have.
Must have been a way. Like, personally,
my mom listened to a lot of Blue Rodeo, and
Blue Rodeo is actually just like
Blue Rodeo is amazing.
Sarah McLachlan, like that one song, hey. Like so good. but like personally, like I just pretty much started with like Green Day and stuff, and Billy Talent, yes, all that stuff. Moved on to like Eminem and Dr. Dre. I remember listening
so
to
many
those
genres
records,
right now.
Those records for the first time, like, because like we were on that cusp of that internet wave where like that was all that was like available on LimeWire.
Yeah.
Where you're getting all that Eminem and Dr. Dre and then all those oldies, like Outkast was
pre-internet hip-hop was weird.
Yeah.
But pre-internet hip-hop also showed me Far Side and like a couple obscure hip-hop artists. And that helped me.
Souls of Mischief.
That helped me a lot. Do your parents make art? Are your parents artistic people?
My dad was in a band for most of his youth. He's a drummer and a guitarist, still has a studio and makes music, and my mom started out painting and kind of drifted over to a kind of more completely different career that's not so much artistic.
Yeah.
No, my parents are not artistic at all. My mom quilts sometimes, but my
that's artistic.
It is artistic. My grandmother was a music teacher, and she has like I have like a big Steinway piano that she gave to us like years and years ago before she passed away. And I don't know. I think it's from her. I think I get it from her because I definitely don't get any of my artistic ness from my parents.
do your parents support you wholeheartedly your creative endeavors?
Of course.
Amazing.
Of course they do.
Because that's a lot of the time that's not the case.
It is.
It's like, get a real job, please. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love it if I got
fun,
a real job.
Have fun, but get a real job.
They still send you links to like schools to apply to.
Yeah, my mom does the same
like
thing.
Every other
She'll
day.
Be like, you know, this could be really interesting if you became like a plumber. Like, basically. Let's talk about Big Fat Baby.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Why Big Fat Baby?
I feel like that's on me. I think that's because I named Big Fat Baby. This summer, I was going through a lot of feelings and emotions, and I don't know who's ever heard the project. There's a lot of like breakup songs and love songs and shit. And it was me kind of like going through those like emotions and those feelings and like being a self-soother and like really having that pain and feeling like a big fat baby. I had to go through those feelings in order to like come out on the other side. So it's just about me being a big fat fucking baby. Can I swear on the air? Probably not.
You can swear on the air. This is what they call the watershed hours. And we can swear. We can say fuck. I still feel weird about saying it.
Yeah.
Just in case there's some
I've been told
young viewers. But apparently if you like swear or you play even explicit content before like 8 or 9 p.m., like people can complain and you could potentially get your broadcasting license revoked.
Okay, well.
If people are too offended. But at the same time, this is CITR, and CITR has always been at the helm of like reporting on the real important shit for the past 40 years, whether it's been protests or, you know, wars. CITR has been involved in holding it down for the real. I'll be the first to call out UBC and some of its bullshit practices while I do a radio show on UBC. I'm not afraid of that.
Hey.
You know, you got to own up to your shit. And that's a part of why CITR is a beautiful thing, because it exists to help. Channeling 90s R&B vibes / 60s blues vibes. Mm-hmm. We talk about Janis Joplin. What are your big vocal inspirations? Like your top three?
Another big album for me that inspires my style is the Survivor album by Destiny's Child.
Ooh.
I got it on my Walkman when I was like 8 or something like that.
On cassette or on CD?
No, on CD.
Yeah.
No, on CD. We're on to CDs now. Yeah. I'm a little bit older.
We're 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's a really big one for me, honestly. Like, listening to Destiny's Child growing up, like, it kind of just, like, opened my mind up to like R&B, because before that I was listening and pop too. Like I was listening to like strictly like fucking classic rock. So getting that CD and going to like the CD Plus or whatever was in my shitty
CD
hometown.
CD Plus, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love the names of old like music spots.
I remember that place.
Maybe like Music Max. Yeah. CD Plus, where? Where? Where was this?
Oh, up in the North Interior, BC, Turtle Island, called Williams Lake.
You guys
town.
Both from Williams Lake?
No.
No, not me.
Okay.
Just me, yeah.
But you know about CD Max, or what was it called?
I had a CD Plus.
I had a CD Plus in Edmonton in the mall.
Oh, cool, cool.
I remember that.
Shout out CD Plus. I hope you're still rocking it.
They're probably not.
Not what's the what do you guys, like, you guys make all of your music at home? In the for the most part in the bedroom studio. What's the importance, first of all, briefly, what's your setup, like what's your basic setup, and what's the importance for you guys of DIY, just the mentality of DIY and being able to go from concept to mix master on your own for the most part, how and what's the importance of that for you?
I mean, I think it's super important. I don't see a future where, like, I'm having to, like, mix and master everything. I enjoy it, but I'd love to, like, speed up the process, whereas we're just, like, producing tracks in-house and, you know, being able to financially afford sending them off. It just takes up a lot of time.
It does, for sure.
So we'd like to kind of speed that up. But at home, we're basically working off of Ableton plugins, bit of analog. This EP was special to me because I actually play a lot of the bass on it.
Cool.
Which is new for me.
Like
the bass guitar.
On the guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
On
so
the guitar.
So that's like, I love the fact, like, it's important and
for
special
sure.
to me that
for
I was
sure.
able to strengthen that skill and use it. And I use a lot of samples, but like most of the keys are all, keys and bass are basically all written by me.
Cool.
Mm. And the drums, of course, and maybe use a bit of like guitar and some other samples to kind of spice it up.
Yeah.
And then
I have like a really shitty piano that is sitting in front of our in front of our window, and like half the keys don't work on either side, but it's actually been like really nice to like sit down at that piano and look out the window and like play.
Yeah.
I think it's like made Ari play more because
it's just
there. Yeah. Right, it's like it's in our living rooms, so I don't know. It's just like right there, and we sit down and play it, and it's
your
nice to have it, even though it's a piece of shit.
Your side actually was a completely different beat, and then we were playing it, and it was just in the living room, and I wrote the main like chord progression to go on top of these drums, just like in the living room with that piano, and completely changed the song. Like that track would be nowhere near the album if we hadn't have just like been felt inspired in that moment.
Cool, cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. Should we get into a song? Should we get into this song?
Let's do it.
What's coming up? This is CITR 101.9. This is Bad Love, Georgie, off the album Big Fat Baby. Stay tuned.
She refurbished her furniture and she plans it on her future success. Yes, she plans right and she's cute nonetheless. Bad love, bad love, you think it's so bad. Bad love, oh, you think it's so bad, you think it's so bad. Bad love, bad love, oh, you think it's so bad. Bad love, oh, you think it's so bad, you think it's so bad. Bad love, bad love.
Bad love, you think it's so bad.
I don't know if you caught that bike chain reference. Shimano. Shout out Shimano. Making budget parts since I have no idea. Tell me about that song. Tell me about that. Tell me about Bad Love. What were you feeling when you wrote this song?
Oh, my God. I had just stopped seeing a human being that was bad for me. and so it inspired me to write that. Kind of, if you listen to the verses, they are about just fucking getting shit done by yourself. Like, the second verse is about, like, going to a fucking Kiss concert, and then you're riding home on your bike, and your fucking chain breaks off, and then you hook it up back up to the Shimano, and then you fucking ride through the fucking grotto. Yeah, it's just about, you know, fucking enjoying your own time to yourself and not needing somebody else, not needing that love, especially if it's bad for you.
Mm. For real.
Hey.
I can dig that. How did you guys meet?
At the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah. So this is a good story. So Georgie's from Williams Lake. I moved there to get out of a previous toxic town energy. And I moved there just in, like, grade 12.
A lot of toxic town energy we're trying to minimize in 2020. Yeah.
Ooh, you know, sure. If you're from interior British Columbia or anywhere in, like, small town Canada, you got a lot of unlearning to do.
Believe that.
So, like, yeah, we had a few classes together and everything, and it was probably, like, halfway through being in grade 12 and kind of, like, knowing each other, being at the same parties and stuff. And bunch of the seniors went to the bowling alley. And what was it? We were both sitting there, and
you were like, "Does anybody here smoke weed?" And I was like, "I do." So we went out into your car and we smoked weed.
We went out into my Toyota Echo,
and then we went drifting.
And then we went this small town things, and then we just went out into the bush and just did some drifts and smoked the pipe bowls, and then
like you wouldn't believe how many people love doing that in Vancouver.
Like, the next day, I went over to his house and we just, like, wrote a song and
called Corner Store.
Yeah, and then the rest is history.
It was like four really basic guitar chords, and then
I have heard this song, or is this something in the
unreleased?
Yeah,
it's in an old notebook, maybe.
Yeah,
amazing.
Really old. This was like 2012. We knew as soon as we wrote that song that, like, this is what we should be doing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Facts.
That's really cool.
It's true.
Why? What do you love about the other person, and what do you maybe dislike about the other person?
Oh, wow.
You start. What do you love about him?
I'm gonna go first. What do I love about him? He's very strong, and he makes decisions, and he knows what he wants.
What do you love about her?
How kind she is, kind and talented and humble.
Ooh. What do you dislike about Ari here?
He has a bit of a temper sometimes.
What do you dislike about Georgie sometimes?
How kind she is.
Oh, like, too kind.
Yeah.
It's so my fucking downfall and the best thing about
me. Give it all up on some compassion shit.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, that's kind of why we balance each other out, though.
It's
that's
true.
Cool. Well, that's
it's
generally
true.
Like, a lot of the time I feel like dynamic duos or groups, they kind of play off each other and you know opposites attract on some level.
Yeah.
How well do you know each other? Do you know what her favorite food is? What would be her go-to? What do you think is her go-to?
Hey, I want
to
know.
Like, if someone's like, "What can I cook for you?" and you were thinking what she would want.
Wow.
I'm sure it varies, but
I,
like,
know it's in my head. I know what I would
you
want.
You know what it is? I don't know if someone would be cooking it, but, like, I know she really likes, like, a nice ramen or pho.
Oh, I was going to say noodles. Oh, you got it.
What's his favorite food? What's he obsessed with?
Burgers or pizza?
Yeah, those are pretty
simple, man.
All around. I mean, I would say my meal of choice is all three of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay.
I had ramen and pizza last night.
Yeah, very on brand.
Shout out Sloan.
So you guys exist here in Vancouver. Why? What makes Vancouver special for you? Why do you stay? Because it's all you've ever known, or
oh no,
why? You know, a lot of people flee to Toronto, Montreal, LA.
Well, something I've thought about. But
why are you here?
You gotta look at it like
what do you enjoy about
Vancouver?
This city?
To us was like the big step.
Yeah.
From being from interior BC.
Yeah.
Vancouver was a logical choice. Like, moving out after high school, we weren't trying to, like, go somewhere crazy. So this was our step, and it was the test of, like, if we can truly immerse ourselves in a community and build a fan base, build a friendship cancel the ship of friends. Friendship ship. Yeah, like, just find some people that are like-minded and want to support us and are just awesome, and I think we've done that.
Yeah, I would have to say the community is keeping me here. I love all the people that I get to work with and hang out with and see do their thing, and they see me do my thing, and it's a very supportive place. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think a lot of people are on this, like, fuck Vancouver tip, no fun Vancouver, or whatever the fuck it is. But I actually, like, if I want to go out, like, there's always something to do. There's always some music to go see or somebody perform or some, like, band playing somewhere, you know. There's always something dope to see. You don't need to go to the Granville Strip.
You don't need to go to Granville
Strip. Ever.
Don't.
Living in Vancouver as artists can be difficult. How do you make it work? How do you make it work in a city that financially doesn't favor being an artist? And, you know, this is could be advice for people living in L.A., New York, or wherever. How do you guys make it work?
Side hustle.
How does it become worth it to continue to be creative when the demand to work, to survive in the city is so fierce?
Well, we both have a lot of side hustles. Throughout our entire time living in Vancouver, we've worked, like, at minimum 2 or 3 jobs at a time, and then go home and work on music. And that can be extremely physically and mentally exhausting,
yeah.
And it comes at a cost. We've both dealt with mental issues and all sorts of things through our journey.
Shout out
here.
Mental health awareness.
Yeah, and I don't know, at the end of the day, you're just like, this is my decision.
It helps.
Art is suffering. I just love it too much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it up.
Yeah. I think also, like, finding side hustles that are, like, in, like, the music community. So, like, working door somewhere or bartending at a place where you can get paid to fucking watch music. Mm. Like, you know, like, having jobs like that, it really helps me instead of doing, like, straight retail. Or, like, I do retail sometimes, and then I do serving, and, like, it sucks my soul out. So, like, working at places where there's music around me, it definitely helps. For me, it makes me stay.
Also, I don't think we would have been able to do this without each other.
Facts.
So, get a tight compadre.
Yeah.
That'll support you through all this shit.
Yeah. True.
We're very, very fortunate to have each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you guys,
that.
That's so beautiful. Should we play this song?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Kodak.
I check out your chest and leave you away. I thought you could play. I'm a freak, you're full crazy, baby. You sold yourself. Yeah.
Hey, Kodak. Who is Dacey?
So Dacey is her Dacey. Name, and she's an amazing vocalist. She plays with a band. We're actually playing a show this Saturday at The Pace, and she's going to be playing as well with her band. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ended up just like going over to her studio at goes to Nimbus.
Cool.
And
cool.
One night, and we all wrote that track. Like even Ari had like parts, and Dacey had parts, and I had parts, and we all like co-wrote it. Like,
there's
it
more
really
to the story
because
we went to the studio after we watched Toby Lou.
Yeah, true. So we were heavily inspired.
Heavily influenced by alcohol, and also heavily inspired. So it came really natural. I've known Dacey for years.
That's the best part about late night studio sessions.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you'll go there and you're a bit lit and you're like, I'm on a wave. Yeah. Let's go.
It was fun. We all had great energy in there. Would love to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Amazing.
She's great. She kills it.
Black Friday. This Friday. Do you guys give a fuck?
No.
What the fuck is up with Black Friday?
I'm not working retail, so I'm not mad.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Fuck. What's with this? Like, I mean, consumerism is kind of what drives the music industry in a sense, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if I was to be honest with you, if I had access to all my artists through means of not paying for their music, like, I'd probably, like, I pay for a lot of music, but I also download for free a lot of music. How do you guys feel existing as artists trying to make a living knowing that it's difficult to monetize something that everyone has access to for free at all times, but whether it's buskers or YouTube or like, mm-hmm. What is the angle for you, or do you care about your brand? Like, how do you guys feel about branding yourself in general?
I care, like, about my brand. But when it comes to money, like, I hate to say this because I know that, like, why am I doing this if it's not to get paid? But, like, I actually really just, like, when I'm on SoundCloud and people are getting that shit for free and I see plays, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that somebody can enjoy this. Like, you know? So, like, I do care about the money, and I do care about... like getting paid for my art, and yeah, I want that to happen for me, but I it makes me so happy to just fucking see people listening to my shit and enjoying it and thinking that it may help somebody, because that's why I do this shit. So yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, we really want a tour. It's
yeah.
not so much that
there's
we want
the money.
Yes.
It's not so much that we want to sit
it's not a lot of money, but that's money and also like beautiful
fun.
Experiences.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's never really truly about how big our bank account is, but you know how full our hearts are.
Aw,
for real.
Tender babies.
Go cheesy on you there.
For real.
Of course, we want to make money.
We just want to keep doing this.
But yeah, we love doing it, and that's why we do it. So yeah, that's what it's about, mm-hmm. for sure.
How do you feel about within music, you know, the sexualization of female performing artists and kind of trying to match up to unrealistic beauty standards within the industry? How do you navigate that? How do you deal with that? Is it just out of sight, out of mind, I'm going to do me? Or do you
I don't
feel
think you
like
can
there's
live
a
that way.
Push and pull with having to look cute, look sexy, desirable, so to speak?
I think it's about feeling good. Like, honestly, if any woman or anybody wants to wear whatever the fuck they want to wear, or if they want to wear nothing, I'm completely fine with it.
Mm.
I understand that, like, maybe if, like, somebody else is talking or like making a track about somebody else and it's sexualizing them, I'm not okay with that. But if somebody is talking about themselves and how sexy they feel, then fuck yeah,
go for it.
Yes, yeah. Like I'm all for that. Like, feel good in your sexuality. Like, be a hoe. Like, do you. Like, that's if it makes you feel good, then do it. That's how I feel about myself, and that's how I want everybody to feel about their sexuality. Feel open to do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Dress how you want to dress. Sing about what you want to sing about. Like, yeah.
100%. You want to close that? Just so we don't...
Yeah, don't
disturb anybody in the studes.
Don't you dare sing about anybody else. Don't you dare. But if you're talking about yourself, you know, let that freak flag fly.
For real.
We're not going to hear any Georgie diss tracks in the future?
Oh, I don't think so.
That'd be crazy, right? I can't even imagine you in like some like like R&B diss feud, like on some like who does that? Nicki Minaj or something.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj versus Georgie.
Oh.
I'll take that any day.
Thanks for the publicity.
I lose.
Yeah. What does safe space mean to you? Both y'all.
For me, I think it's really important. Accessibility is really important. So having spaces that are accessible for everybody, like having equity for everybody, like a safe space is somewhere that anybody can go and feel like they are not being threatened. Like I work at a venue, and like if there's anybody ever feels a type of way, I hope that they can like come up to me. Honestly, if anybody feels a type of way about anything, DM me. Okay, we can talk about it. I'm here for you. Mm. Like, for real. Safe space is hella important to me, yeah.
Yeah, yes, it's super important. I think, being in a space where you're allowed to just be yourself, that's, you know, allowed to be multicultural and, like, you know, have opinions that don't actually inflict pain upon people or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a safe space? What does it look like?
It's my like 10 by 10 foot bedroom.
Yeah.
My mini suite.
Mine is like down on like Sunset Beach or like on Rec or something like that. That's where I feel like.
Totally.
You know, I'm called to those kinds of spaces where there's bodies of water. Get me there. Yeah, it makes me feel comfortable.
What are you thankful for?
Oh, wow.
Right now.
My mom.
First thing that comes to your mind.
That was it. My mom. She's the shit.
Mm.
She's got my back through it all. And she sacrificed so much for me to be living here. So, like, yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. Family and friends, for sure. And already just the ability to express myself through an art form.
Hey.
Desert Island Record, one record that has enough in it that it could be the only thing you listen to, and inevitably you on the desert island you would probably just stop listening to it because you'd be like, I've listened to this like 24,000 times or something, like I'm done. But what's one that would have the greatest distance of repeated listens?
For me,
full record, front to back.
For me, it's
not compilation.
Okay,
like
okay.
Album.
It's Kehlani Cloud 19.
Ooh.
That one, or
I'm familiar.
Sweet Savage Sexy as well is a really good one for me. Or While We Wait, any Kehlani album. If you just put me on an island of that, I will be good. I'll be good to go.
Hmm. It would be Frank Ocean, Blonde.
Blonde. I thought you were going to say Channel Orange.
Yeah, me too. I thought you were going to go for Channel Orange too.
It would, but like imagine being on an island listening to that record.
It's long. Like, it's a lot of tracks.
And you're just like,
there's a lot going on.
Like, I'm fucking on an island alone.
Damn, am I supposed to answer this too?
Yes.
I didn't even think about
Arrow,
it.
Arrow, you go.
I mean, to be honest with you, I've giving it no thought, my go-to would be Slum Village, Fantastic Volume 2.
Mm.
I'm sure I could come up with another one that has more for me, but that one right now, it has enough and like means enough to me that would be it. Advice for young creatives, advice for young Ari, young Georgie, what would you tell your 12-year-old self looking to be creative? What advice do you have?
Get some sleep, little one. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get a good night's sleep, you know? That's really important. For me, like, I have, like, anxiety and depression, and for me, that good night's sleep really sets my entire life up for success. So get enough sleep, and also try not to give a fuck about what other people think, you know? Like, don't don't make up what someone else perceives you as. Just perceive yourself and be present and, you know, show up.
I got two good ones that I always find that I would love to tell people. One of them is to not be afraid to pivot. There's been many moments in my career when I was doing one thing.
Is that like basketball reference?
It's like a Silicon Valley reference. Sometimes you gotta
pivot
like a business.
I thought you were referencing Saba. Pivot.
Pivot gang.
Pivot gang.
Yeah, I mean, we can use all these different metaphors, but don't be afraid to go a different direction. Like, if you feel like this is what you're meant to do, like,
yeah.
Things come up all the time. Like, George and I knew each other and worked on music for such a long time, but it took like, you know, 4 or 5 years until we decided to put all our effort into this project, into like creating this type of music, and it's been so fun. My second piece is to immerse yourself in the community and volunteer for things. The biggest impact that anything had on like my networking and like my career was when I went out to shows and I started volunteering for people because I just wanted to be a part of it. That's how it started. I started volunteering for Chapel Sound.
I remember maybe before I even really knew you,
yeah.
I saw you. I had known who you were, and I saw you volunteering for Chapel Sound.
Yeah,
I was like, there's that guy.
Shout out Tiger and Nancy and Sean. I really miss Sean.
Still doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm. Always.
All over the world.
And those are the first people who put me in front of CJs and like taught me how to do things. And
yeah.
From there, I've had so many opportunities. So
shout out Chapel Sound for fostering for a good 5-6 years, a huge host of amazing DJs and artists who are now like winning Grammys and like mm-hmm. going platinum, and you know, others of which who are just throwing the dopest parties that mm-hmm. happen in the city.
True.
And some who aren't a part of, like, I've faded out of the main circle, and others have as well, but it's always been such an inviting vibe, and it was such a cool vibe. So shout mm-hmm. out Chapel Sound. Any last minute shout outs before we get into solo?
I think I would like to shout out Chris Muncia. He actually shot the cover for Big Fat Baby, and it's
cool.
And it's a little soother, and Crepe Suzette actually designed the little gem that went onto that as well. So they created that. They helped create that piece. So
yeah.
Shout out to them.
Shout out Nick Wisdom and Nate Drobner. My music wouldn't exist without them.
Big good ass shout out. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to finish the show off with two tracks of you guys choosing. One is Big Pig Vet. One is Kate OG Love Kush Part 2. Do you guys have anything to say about these? Why these choices? I'm going to play Big Pig and then Kate.
So Big Pig's my choice. Sonically, it is just like a beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Shout out Chelsea for putting me on the Big Pig.
Hey.
I just love the way it sounds, like the mix of it all, like the way the vocals are layered, and I can't get enough of it, and it's in my like, you know, intimate playlist. So
yeah. Yo.
If you need a new song choice.
She's got a lovely voice.
Yeah.
Yes, and why do you feel about what'd you say, Kat?
Kait.
Kait. Is that how they pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah.
Kait.
They're amazing. They do like soul and R&B, and they rap a little bit, and their voice, like, immediately. I was on YouTube one day, and it was, you know how YouTube just like fucking plays shit that it's like thinks you're gonna like. Yeah,
yeah.
So I played the OG Love Kush For You Part 2, and like the music video is beautiful. Their vocals are just insane. So yeah, I'm just a big fan. And they won an ARIA Award last night for best R&B.
Amazing.
New R&B. So
and is that a an Australian award? Is that a
I don't know what the ARIA is.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
She's Australian. They're Australian, so I assume so.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, they're amazing. Yeah, big love. Definitely listen to them. It's Kait.
You listen to CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave. First, we're going to get into this final track. Go and get the album, Big Fat Baby by Georgie and Ari. You still go by Moxa?
I'm still known by Moxa, yeah.
The song is Solo featuring Kendra Diaz, and then we're going to get into their selections, Big Pig, Vet, and Kait, OG Love Kush, Part 2. See you next week, maybe. CITR 101.9 Ninth Wave. Peace.
Dejar las llaves por la puerta y cariño, Tienes que ir y no volver, aquí te pido. Estoy mejor estando sola, así brillo. Y claramente tienes más pa' ti afuera. Con las mujeres de la noche, ir con ellas. Yo tengo cosas que hacer y un botella. Así que darse prisa si son cosas feas.
You had the audacity to leave your menthol cigarettes on the kitchen floor. You know how much I hate your smoking and your asthma always acting up on a fool. You're never really on my mind, I just think of you from time to time. Can finally say I'm sleeping well at night, don't need weed singing me a lullaby. I feel like I'm your mama, cause it's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem, no more OG love kush for you, boo. I feel like I'm your mama, cause it's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem, I got no more OG love kush for you, boo. I wanna see you do nothing but the best, but in order to do that I think it would be best. Never leave you on scene, block you off ever with this. Stop imagining that ring, I stop this as if drinking, hoping that I see you on the weekend. Going on my girl's phone to check your time. Y'all stalking all them bitches that like your profile. Lies your profile. Not anymore. I feel like I'm your mama, cause it's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem, I got no more OG, no cuss for you, boo. I feel like I'm your mama,